This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There was never any real doubt that the Cincinnati Bengals would take Joe Burrow with their overall number one pick. And there was no doubt that they were going to keep that pick and use it themselves. And I feel like that's probably the same situation we're looking at if Trevor Lawrence does decide to leave Clemson. So you had the Bengals with the number one pick a year ago. They were 2-14. Right now we have one winless team, but a bunch of teams that have only one victory, so a lot could change. We're asking you which NFL teams would take Trevor Lawrence right now if they could. And I don't mean as a trade pawn. I mean as their actual quarterback. So yeah, every team would take him if they could then dangle him, but that's not what you do with a Trevor Lawrence. You take him, and you want him to be the face of your franchise. So unless you already have your young stud QB and you're confident he's the only man who could ever win the job in your city, well, then which franchises out there would be tempted by the Trevor Lawrence factor? We've got a post up on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, also on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and you're blowing it up on social media already, which is awesome. We'll get back to those responses. We'll give you a couple of minutes to think about it. And I'm not just looking for a number. I want your actual team, so I know which teams out there you think would be an upgrade, or those teams believe that they would be an upgrade. I know that you know that I know that you know that we all know. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can.
Second and four for Ohio State. Fields is going to hoist it in the air again. He looks and cranks, sends it deep down the field for Wilson. Got it! Touchdown, Wilson! 42 yards from Justin Fields as Ohio State gets their second score of the day through the air, 13-7 Buckeyes.
Music to the ears of Buckeyes fans as well as Big Ten football fans as the Big Ten returned last weekend. Paul Keels on Learfield IMG College. Now that the dust has settled a little bit, though there's plenty going on inside the Big Ten as well as every other conference right now that is playing college football, we're excited to welcome back to the show former Buckeyes linebacker and Big Ten analyst Joshua Perry. Joshua, as someone who played, somebody who follows this conference on a daily basis with your TV work, what was it like to finally see not just the Buckeyes, but the Big Ten back on the field?
It was a buildup. I'm telling you, it was a long time coming. It felt like I think the statistic was like 287 days since we had last had Big Ten football on the field. So it was awesome to be back. It was great to be back at work with folks who I haven't seen in a long time. And it was, really good to see all the producers and the engineers and everybody else that was in the office too, knowing that we could have all that personnel back. But just watching the guys run around on the field and the coaches out there screaming at the guys, felt like we had some normalcy back. It wasn't what we typically watch, how we typically get to consume it with fans and everything else and the bands, but overall it was just really good to have football back.
Do you believe everything they're having to go through, the shortened season, just all the protocols, the policies, the conversations, the debate, but seeing them on the field, Joshua, is it worth it?
Guys, I think they would tell you it's worth it. If you ask the coaches, I think they would say it's worth it. If you ask me from the spot I sit in and the studios and Big Ten Network in Chicago, I really think it's worth it. The fact is, these guys love playing the game. They love competing. As fans, we love watching the game. And, I think it really doesn't matter what the form or the shape is, we're going to consume it. Ohio State's noon game against Nebraska was the highest rated game. People came out to watch it. Some of our content on Big Ten Network was some of the highest ratings we had received in years.
Wow.
And it was a pent-up demand. People are happy about it.
The absence makes the heart grow fonder. Joshua Perry is a former Ohio State linebacker, now with Big Ten Network, and joining us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Well, what did you see after all this time with the Buckeyes against Nebraska? What stands out?
Well, you know, it's funny because you talk to people in Columbus and, you know, they'll tell you it was a sloppy game and Ohio State didn't look good early. Put up a 50 points, so it was probably the best sloppy game you could get. And Nebraska looked like they were improved. They had some weapons on the offense that gave Ohio State fits. Ohio State took some poor angles. They missed some tackles, and they just looked like they weren't on the same page communication-wise on defense. But they came out in the second half, and they were able to pitch a shutout in the second half against Nebraska. You know, you felt like there were some struggles running the ball with the running backs, and I think those will improve. Those guys are – Master Teague is a guy who's coming off of an injury. He didn't have a ton of snaps to, I guess, other backup running backs, but he's sitting behind J.K. Dobbins. So Trey Sermon's the guy who transferred in. He's getting into that offense. But Justin Fields is a story. You know, he comes out there, he's nearly perfect, only one incompletion on the day, two passing touchdowns. The wide receivers came through great for him. Two of those guys went for over 100 yards in the game. And Garrett Wilson, who was the receiver of the game, and then Chris Olave had himself a great game until he went out with an injury. Offensively, Ohio State's just, they're clicking. They got to get that run game picked up a little bit. And you score 52, you hold the opposing team to 17. It's a pretty good game.
Just out of curiosity, how long do you think it will take teams, and this includes Ohio State, though they are better than a lot of teams, but how long do you think it will take teams to find that rhythm and consistency?
A few weeks. You know, it's, like I said, the layoff was ridiculous. Ohio State, for example, only had three spring practices, and then there was a ton of time off until they were able to get back into training camp mode and get back into the groove of things. When you haven't played football for a while, you're just going to be rusty. It's like anything else. So I think it'll take a couple of games for everybody to get used to the communication, the pace, the flow, get used to making adjustments on the sideline with their coaches, get used to the length of the game, all those kinds of things. But we've seen it in other conferences. You know, the great teams, they're finding ways to be the great teams, and I see nothing different in the Big Ten with that.
What is your feeling on teams who've played one game or no games even across the college football landscape being ranked and being part of the discussion for the college football playoff?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, folks were kind of getting twisted and tangled up over some of the AP rankings for Big Ten teams who hadn't played yet. And, oh, they're too high, they're too low. I think that this is going to be a situation of not everybody's going to play the same amount of games. It's because I feel like there are going to be games that have been canceled, you know, in the ACC and the SEC, there are probably going to be some in the Big Ten. But the voters will be able to tell based off of the outcomes and watching tape how good the teams are. And it might be that Ohio State plays 8 games and somebody else played 10. A 10-11 game sample size, you'll know how good Clemson is, and you'll know how good Alabama is, how good Notre Dame's looked so far. It's every objection that you would want to make exists right now, but when you flip on the football, you know who's who.
Joshua Perry of the Big Ten Network and formerly an Ohio State linebacker with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Maybe the first major test in terms of protocols is Wisconsin Badgers quarterback Graham Mertz testing positive for COVID-19, out 3 weeks. It seems excessive, but man, what does Wisconsin do now to scramble and kind of keep moving?
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult situation for Wisconsin. Both of their second-string quarterback, who became their starter in week one due to an injury to their original starter, who's out indefinitely. So second-string quarterback is out for 21 days. Third-string quarterback's out for 21 days. So they got a fourth-string guy. I think his name is like Danny Vandenboom or something like that. Vandenboom is the last name I know for sure. It's a cool football name.
Yeah.
His dad played at Wisconsin years ago. He was a Gatorade Player of the Year coming out of high school. So, you know, he's got the stock to be a good player. Nobody's seen him in 2 years, though. I think he had one completion in 2018 and had no completions in 2019. It hurts. Being out for 21 days absolutely hurts for the players. It's going to hurt their teams. But that's what the Big Ten chose in terms of where they want a ramp-up period so athletes aren't being tossed back into the game, and they want to do some of the cardiac testing. I know kind of the jury's still out for some people on whether the cardiac issues are legitimate or not, but the rules are the rules, and
right.
Teams are going to have to adapt and adjust.
Everybody has to play by the same rules, so at least there's comfort in knowing that it's supposed to be creating a level playing field. Elsewhere around the conference, what stood out to you, and even knowing that it's week number one and things are going to change?
Yeah, I mean, there were a number of storylines. Penn State losing to Indiana was one that was interesting. I don't think it was all too surprising. You just felt like there was a legitimate path for Indiana to do it because of some of the talent that they had coming back and everything else. But it was how many mistakes Penn State made. 10 penalties, 100 yards in penalty yardage, and a few missed field goals will absolutely lose a game for you against a team that's opportunistic. Northwestern looked a lot better than they did last year. I think they averaged like 15 points a game last year. Mm-hmm. They came out and scored 49 because they've got a transfer quarterback who looked really good. Some of the obstacles they had, their head coach was out due to COVID, and Rondale Moore, who opted out then opted back in, wasn't available to play. And they still went out and beat Iowa and looked good offensively doing it. Michigan came out, Joe Milton, as a young quarterback, led that offense. At some point, he was able to hit some balls underneath. The defense looked great, and that is how bad Minnesota looked offensively. I mean, it was very surprising. Tanner Morgan is a quarterback who I respect a lot. I thought he was the second-best quarterback in the Big Ten, and he just didn't perform well. You know, like 197 yards, 18 of 31 on one interception, just a very lackluster performance. And then finally, how about this one? Rutgers, for the first time in 21 Big Ten contests, won a conference game, and they did it 7 turnovers in the game.
Mm.
It was really good football from the Scarlet Knights.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Joshua Perry of the Big Ten Network and Iowa State football with us. It's something that, as in 2020, we've all had to adapt to, but it's different when you're talking about sports because of all the cancellations, the postponements, you know, it kind of looms there. It's a very real possibility if something goes wrong and something gets derailed. So I don't know. It feels like there's almost this quality of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like maybe they've been conditioned now to expect something negative, which I hate that because sports are supposed to be fun. They're supposed to be the opposite of that. They're supposed to be a stress reliever, not something that creates more stress, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's the difficult part. And you said it. It's been like that for everybody, but specifically for athletes. One thing that I kept repeating throughout the process of the postponement and everything is how important routine is for all of us, but when you're an athlete, it's kind of ramped up to a different level. Just the clock that your body's on and the things that are supposed to happen when they're supposed to happen. And when you create that uncertainty, it becomes extremely difficult, just not only mentally to reconcile with that uncertainty, but physically to be prepared to have to make changes at a moment's notice to your routine that can affect your body and your ability to perform has been something interesting that I think a lot of people haven't really taken a deep look at, but it's an effect on athletes for sure.
Mm. Joshua, what do you think of Clemson and Alabama so far? They've had a bit of a head start, obviously. They've had a couple of games under their belts, but a lot of buzz about these two teams yet again as we think about a college football playoff.
The buzz is legit. I think that there is a canyon between Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State, and the rest of college football. It's 1, 2, 3. And then there's a literal canyon between 3 and 4. Trevor Lawrence is the number one overall pick, and it's not even close. And I mean, I don't think it's close between him and Justin Fields. And I think Justin Fields has cemented himself as the second best player for sure.
Mm.
But Trevor Lawrence does it all. His team looks really good. When he's available for the media, he says all the right things. It's a total combination. Clemson is going to be somebody to reckon with, but Alabama is right there too. And Nick Saban does it every year. It literally doesn't matter. He's got it figured out how to win football games, how to coach that team into being elite. Hmm. And then Ryan Day, right up there Ohio State is sitting in that third spot, only one game in, but you can definitely see it. But Clemson, Alabama are very, very dangerous. And if you're looking ahead to the college football playoff, you want to be in that number one spot, because whoever's got to play that 2 and 3 game is going to have a doozy.
All right, so before I let you go, you were a linebacker. You just mentioned Trevor Lawrence, that he does it all. So if you're part of a defense that has to game plan for him, where do you start? What's the first job?
It's tough. I really don't know how you would defend against him. I would say, number one, if you can try to apply any type of pressure to him, that would be the place to start. But that offensive line is very good, and he is as cool and calm and poised of a college quarterback as I've seen. It's about playing consistently. So this is when you're playing Clemson, you don't want to do things to beat yourself. So you don't want miscommunications. You don't want coverage busts. You don't want to have guys running wide open. You want to make them at least earn it all. And they're definitely going to get it, but you want them to earn it. I think that's the biggest thing. But just in terms of answers, like, can you confuse them? I don't think so. can you get a lot of pressure on them? No, because he's got a really good offensive line. I don't think you're going to say, like, oh, well, we've got defensive backs that are better than their receivers. They've got really good wide receivers, too. It's a total combination. But, they're as solid as they can be.
Mm. It's a lot of fun to talk just straight X's and O's in football, though, even if it's just for a couple of minutes. So we'll have to have this conversation again as we see what happens moving forward. You can find Joshua on Twitter at RIP_JEP. You can see him on the Big Ten Network now talking about actual games. Comes from the Ohio State family. Joshua, it's great to catch up with you again. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So according to this recently retired Ohio State linebacker, he also had a cup of coffee in the NFL, Joshua Perry says Trevor Lawrence is the real deal and that it's almost impossible to get to him. Not impossible, but almost, because of the great offensive line. But that you really can't fluster him. You can't get him out of his rhythm because he is as cool as they come. So in light of Joshua's assessment, I'll ask you the question again. Looking at the NFL, we're assuming, of course, that Trevor Lawrence will be available in the upcoming draft. He hasn't declared yet, but he could very well be available in 2021. Which NFL teams, how many of them, do you think would take Trevor Lawrence right now if they could? Whatever their quarterback situation, consider all the options. And I don't mean for a trade. I mean for them, for their roster. How many out there? Because, of course, every team out there would take him if trading him was a possibility. But I'm thinking about keeping him on the roster. Which NFL teams would take him right now and think that he's an upgrade over what they've got?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second down and 22, and they have just been powerless to protect Sam Darnold. He's in the shotgun again. Takes the snap. Four-man rush. Looks right, throws right. The ball batted down at the line. It caroms around, and it's intercepted on the carom by Jerry Hughes. It never hit the ground.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Poor Sam Darnold. There's a lot of quarterbacks that I feel bad for in the NFL, but just as the... probably the jury is close to making up its mind on Adam Gase in New York. The jury is definitely way, way, way out on Sam Darnold. And maybe when it comes to Daniel Jones as well, in the minds of fans, I don't know that I believe the jury is out on Daniel Jones when it comes to the Giants front office or even the coaching staff, though that's obviously changed too. You look around the NFC East, and you see the Eagles are having all kinds of issues. Of course, their offensive line is abysmal. The Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to be starting Ben DiNucci this weekend, more than likely, because Andy Dalton isn't going to clear concussion protocol. But we know the offense still looks so different with Dalton versus Dak. In Washington, well, Kyle Allen came in with Ron Rivera, but don't you think that Washington would take Trevor Lawrence right now if he was available? I love the Alex Smith component, but even if he ends up playing more this year, he's not the long-term solution. Is he late 30s? He's mid-30s. Late 30s? I can't remember now. 36, 37, something like that. So just looking around the NFC East, then in the AFC East, of course, we talked about the Jets, and the Patriots don't have a long-term solution at quarterback yet either. Unless they decide that Cam is the one they want moving forward. Cam's only 31, so theoretically is in the prime of his career. In the NFC South, you've got two older quarterbacks in Tom Brady and Drew Brees, and you also have Matt Ryan, who's not old, but is closer to the end of his career than he is to the beginning. And there's even been these weird trade rumors about Julio Jones and Matt Ryan with the Falcons. How about in the NFC North? Kirk Cousins signed his second deal with the Vikings, but whoa, it's not going so well. Did you hear Aaron Rodgers laughing on Wednesday at the idea that Mike Zimmer is on the hot seat? I think it's kind of comical as well, but Matt Stafford, still a great QB. You don't see it much with the Lions, or it doesn't matter as much with the Lions. But would they take Trevor Lawrence right now and get him ready to be their franchise starter? In Chicago, we know they haven't yet found an option for QB. In Green Bay, they did draft Jordan Love, which shocked the world. But come on, it's Jordan Love. It's not Trevor Lawrence. And Aaron Rodgers is definitely toward the end of his career, though he says he wants to play into his 40s. What about San Francisco? That's an interesting conundrum to me. They like Jimmy Garoppolo. And Kyle Shanahan gets really defensive anytime someone brings it up. But is it a case of me thinks he doth protesteth too much? I don't know. The Niners are above 500 again, which is great. But are they in the best position possible at QB? The Colts, we know, are looking for a solution. The Raiders, is the jury still out on Derek Carr? I don't know. John Gruden loves him. Loves him. The Chargers have Justin Herbert now. The Broncos have Drew Locke, but it's been touch and go. The Steelers, at some point, are going to need to replace Ben Roethlisberger. Though they're the only undefeated remaining, but they're going to need a plan. You got to have a plan, Stan. And so which teams out there would take Trevor Lawrence right now if they could get their hands on him? Not the Ravens. They love Lamar Jackson, right? Nobody in Baltimore is thinking that they would prefer a different QB. Nobody. I think that the Baltimore storyline of Dez Bryant joining the practice squad is amazing. What are the plans for Dez, John Harbaugh?
General sense to play for the Ravens. We'll see. You know, he's going to be in the practice squad right now, and we'll see how it progresses from there.
Oh, okay. General sense is to play for the Ravens. Great. Thank you for that general answer. Do you remember when Dez Bryant tore his ACL, not his ACL, sorry, popped his Achilles, tore his Achilles 2 days into signing with the Saints? Oh, gosh. I've not always been a big fan of Dez Bryant, but I do think older players, players who've had some adversity, who've tasted the lowest of the lows, who are in touch with their sports mortality, they tend to appreciate the opportunities a little more. And he certainly has. Not only did he have to rehab from that Achilles, but there was nobody calling for a job.
Do you have any and then.
Miss Dez. He said, when the Ravens gave him this deal to join their practice squad, that he couldn't stop crying. That makes me like him even more because we know he's an emotional guy, but to have that kind of a raw, genuine response, you know how much it matters to him. He's out there saying, just give me a chance.
The ref really wasn't even listening to nothing that I was saying.
See what I mean? We missed Dez. This makes me so happy. I really hope he ends up on the actual roster. Not that I want anyone to get hurt or move over, but I hope that he looks that good and he's able to get out there and he's able to play. Mark Andrews, Ravens tight end, for one, is really excited
He actually like followed me on Twitter like a year or two
Whoa.
Ago. So, I'm excited to meet him. Excited, get around him, hopefully, and just learn. Obviously, learn everything you can from a guy like that. Just because they've done it, and they've been there. So, it's super exciting for me.
So, Mark Andrews mentions Twitter. It's a different form of social media for Lamar Jackson when he talks about Dez.
Oh man, it's tremendous. We just got to see what he's capable of. You know, I see him on IG a lot doing his thing. He be grinding, getting after it. Mr. Ozzy and Eric, those guys did a great job upstairs. Bring him in. We just got to see if he's ready, see what he's capable of, and going to go from there.
All right. So far, 100% validation. And then John Harbaugh. Well, the general sense is we want him to play for the Ravens.
Oh. I won't ever, 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 ever.
We had so much fun after that whole catch, no catch thing. I mean, people are still mad about the fact that it wasn't a catch. It wasn't a catch. Anyway, people are still angry about it. And we use Dez Bryant drops for days. In fact, we still do. He's a hoot.
He actually like followed me on Twitter.
What? Yay. That's amazing. Meanwhile, Lamar is following him on IG. It's going to be fun. I really do hope he gets back on the field. I feel about the same way to seeing him on the field that I would for Alex Smith, or I did for Alex Smith. So that's cool. These kind of redemption stories are my favorites in sports, but also the fact that he's a different guy than he was when he was with the Cowboys and everything was so easy and he would get in coaches' faces and it was all about Dez. And I know he was passionate about winning, but, you know, he rubbed on guys the wrong way, graded teammates the wrong way. I do always think it was cool that Tony Romo would never say a bad word about him, even though Tony was often the object of Dez's ire. So Dez Bryant back in the NFL for now, practice squad. Today, practice squad. Tomorrow, starting lineup. What?
They've done it.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. We'll get to your calls here, too. A lot of you are sending us a list now, and these are not short lists. How many teams in the NFL would take Trevor Lawrence on their roster right now if they could? Now, it's not feasible for most of them, but how many would take him right now if they could? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Bob was choosing when we started the segment. Yet another dismal day for Sam Darnold and the Jets. Right now, they appear to be the front runners for Trevor Lawrence. Double fist pump from producer Dave. However, things can change. The Jets are not going undefeated. In my opinion, they're definitely not doing that. They're not going winless, in my opinion. It's really difficult to do that. Even the worst teams seem to find a win here or there. Blind squirrel finds a nut. Anyway, they have a really good shot at getting him, and then they would move Sam Darnold. Or maybe it's like a Josh Rosen where there aren't a whole lot of takers. Now, I don't know. Poor Sam. I do feel bad for him. His development has been severely stunted by what's happened in New York, the Adam Gase factor notwithstanding. All right, so Twitter, Facebook, and then your calls. Trevor Lawrence is the prize. What teams out there would take him right now?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jones from the gun, trailing 10-7. Jones, quick hitter. Popped up in the air and intercepted. Picked off by Mills on the ricochet. And he's brought down at the 43. Engram, the intended target. And the Giants turn it over.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There are a lot of people who tell you both New York football teams would take Trevor Lawrence right now if they could. But I'm not so sure about the Daniel Jones question. I think the Giants really like him. At least Dave Gettleman really likes him, right? So Gettleman is the guy that kind of pulled off that heist, if you will, and kept it a secret until Jones was drafted instead of Dwayne Haskins. It was a huge surprise in last year's draft. And there are a lot of things to like about Daniel Jones. I mean, you ask quarterbacks, actual quarterbacks, about Jones, and they will tell you he's got all the tools. The problem is the development is slower because of the team he plays on and because of the people that are blocking in front of him or not blocking in front of him and because of who he's throwing to. And let's be honest, when he's also your leading running back, there's a problem. He's very athletic, of course, but you don't want your star quarterback leading your team in rushing, but that's the issue when you've also lost your star running back. And so there are a lot of questions about Daniel Jones, I think, but mostly from the fan base. I think this is my opinion, just knowing what I know about the organization and from people I've talked to, they're happy with Daniel Jones. Now, if they had the number one pick, would they draft Trevor Lawrence? How many teams out there want to be the team that passed on Lawrence? Woo! No relation, by the way, but I do like to say his name over and over. I think we'll just call him Lawrence. People call me that sometimes, and I don't answer because chicks don't answer to last names generally. It's not something we do. When I first got in this business, people called me Lawrence. I was like, no. That's not how you get my attention. Nor is babe or sweetheart or honey or any of the other names you might call me. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Do you want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. So switch to Geico and save. Do you want to know who leads the NFL in interceptions right now? That would be Kirk Cousins and Carson Wentz. They are tied with 10 interceptions apiece. Ryan Fitzpatrick has 7. Cam Newton has 7. Baker Mayfield has 7. Kyler Murray has 7. And Daniel Jones has 7. Sam Darnold only has 6, and that's because he missed 2 games. Well, maybe not. Maybe he would have gone completely interception-less in those games. But there are a lot of different stats I could throw at you to be sure. But let's remember, football is a team sport, and you're very often no better than the people who are around you. So I thought it was interesting to hear what Tim Tebow had to say about the number one pick. He was a guest on Tiki and Tierney this week, and Tim was essentially handing out his free advice to Trevor Lawrence about what he should do or what Trevor should keep in mind if the Jets end up landing that number one pick.
I think he's got to do a lot of evaluation, a lot of prayer, a lot of talking to wise counsel, looking at a good situation and what that might be. You know, it would be hearing from the Jets. What are their plans? How are they going to surround him? I mean, I really am a huge believer that in college, but even more so in the NFL, your success is so much predicated on the system and what's around you. When these quarterbacks are in the right system, where the system fits who they are, how they play, how they can compete and how they can succeed, and they put good pieces around them, then guys do good. It's crazy how that happens. But when they go into other places where there's turmoil and chaos and they don't have good players around them, then guess what? They're not as good. And I think there's been so many quarterbacks that had a chance of being good that weren't put in a good system around them, that weren't put in a position to succeed. So I would really encourage Trevor to find out, how are they going to use you? How are they going to support you? If I was him, I would genuinely try to evaluate everything and look at it with open eyes, because he's so good and he's so talented. He needs a great prospect. He will have leverage.
Tebow, of course, with his own personal history in the Jets organization. Oh, what a fiasco. 855-212-4227. The worst passer rating in the NFL right now belongs to Drew Lock. And you want to talk about a guy who is very much a product of what's happening around him. That's a similar situation. It's hard to know how good Drew is. The Broncos really like him. John Elway really likes him. But how do you know? How do you evaluate when they have baby receivers? It seems like all the receivers are first-year guys. Their running game is spotty. Now, their offensive line is better this year, but the team is not very good. Sam Darnold, 2nd in the NFL with worst passer rating. 3rd, Cam Newton. And 4th, Daniel Jones. Rounding out the top 5, Carson Wentz. So there we go with the NFC East again. But these quarterbacks' numbers are all tied to poor offensive lines. I mean, a lot of the issues come with the offensive line. So it's hard to know what you have. Let's talk to Charlie, who's in Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi. Hi, Amy. It's really nice to talk to you first time on radio, and I'm going to give you my take real quick.
Okay. Thank you.
I think that I'm going to spin this a little bit, but I think that the team that is actually in the best position to get Trevor Lawrence, or I would call him the passenger seat, because obviously the team with the worst record is going to get him, unless I think it's the Miami Dolphins. And the reason I say that is because they would be able to trade a first-round pick, which is probably at least going to be a number one, a top 10. And the way Houston is playing right now, it could very well be a top 5.
Oh, why would they do that? Let me just interrupt you. I know how it works, why would they do that?
Why would they do that? Because Tua Tagovailoa is on audition for the rest of the season. If his injuries come back and he is not a sustainable quarterback, then the Dolphins are in a position to draft Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, can you do a little exercise with me? Can you repeat after me?
Oh, boy. Yes, I can repeat after you.
Okay, Tungo?
Tungo.
Vailoa.
Vailoa.
Tungo Vailoa.
Not how it looks.
No, of course not.
No, Tungo Vailoa. How about I just stick to Tua? That would probably be better.
Tua works as well. I'm going to disagree with you there. I think the Dolphins really like him. They obviously drafted him very high last year. They're going to him now because they believe he's healthy. Brian Flores has said he's not even worried about him taking a hit, hasn't even thought about it. I mean, we'll see if that holds true. I think until he gets back into kind of football shape, that there will be some questions. But they've been seeing him in practice now for months, and I'm thrilled. I think he's a great face of the franchise, good representation of the Dolphins, certainly was at Alabama. He handles these situations with such class. There's a lot to like about Tua along the same lines as Trevor. Now, we haven't seen him play a snap in the NFL. Well, no, that's not true. We saw him play a couple of snaps in garbage time in the NFL. But I don't know that they would be ready to move on so quickly. I'm not even sure. They have other needs, too. Maybe they would draft Trevor and trade him if they had the option. That seems weird. Maybe they would just trade the number one pick and get a lot in return. But, I mean, why would you be so quick to move on from Tua when you haven't seen anything yet?
Only for one reason. Only if he gets hurt, if his hip injury resurfaces this year. He's literally getting an audition. That is why he is going in, because he's going to get to play 10 games in the NFL. 10 chances to prove himself.
You don't draft a guy that high for an audition. You don't draft a guy that high for an audition. So I don't agree with you, but you're right. All bets are off if any quarterback gets hurt, except in the case of the Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick actually is probably good for a few more wins. So I don't think that if he gets hurt, that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a step down just because Tua is coming in kind of cold here. I hope that doesn't happen, but that would be the case anywhere. I mean, any quarterback could suffer a devastating injury at any time, and all of a sudden the entire prospect of the franchise changes. Just ask the Cowboys.
Well, I like I said, I think that they're in the curtains. They're watching. They want him to succeed. I'm a Dolphins fan. I want him to succeed, but if his injury is truly more significant than anyone is saying,
why would they do that, Charlie? I don't know why they wouldn't throw him out there if they thought his injury was significant and was still impacting him. They're not trying to tank here. I mean, he's been evaluated by so many doctors. His family wouldn't want him out there if it wasn't safe. So I feel like as much as, yeah, people are going to say that. There are other players who've come back from hip injuries like this. And in addition, this is a very young athlete, a world-class athlete who bounced back even more quickly than what many people were expecting because of the physical shape he's in. He's had the best care that money can buy in the NFL. The medical care is exceptional. Yeah, I don't think that's a consideration. I'm quite confident that the franchise would not throw its first round investment into the fire if they believed that he was still in danger of getting hurt. They would just wait, because there's nothing to lose by waiting.
Well, I thought they should have too. I agree. I think the fire, I was upset when they pulled Ryan Fitzpatrick. I was all about leave him on the sidelines for this whole year.
Yeah, I got
Give
you.
Give him another year, because honestly, that injury, if it happens again, it's like a spinal cord court injury.
Okay, well, but this is the NFL, Charlie. It's the NFL, and anything can happen. That can happen tomorrow. Again, see what happened with Dak, who'd never had an injury like that. We're at the top of the hour, so I have to let you go, but I appreciate it. I disagree with your assessment that this is an audition. I think this is their guy, and they're trying to throw him out there and get him some reps before they become a contender in the AFC East, before they get to the point where they believe they can actually start winning games and competing. Like, why not get him some reps? And they believe they can do it safely.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.